Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
There's potentially a situation brewing at one Power 5 program. It just cannot be explained away, not in any elegant, flattering manner. Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. Appreciate everybody getting with us. When I say potentially, I hate talking about folks and unemployment, and I don't say that casually or flippantly. Or I was listening to a program in Orlando, Florida, about, I don't know, six, seven, eight spring trainings ago. And there was a guy on Sports Talk in Orlando. I mean, chest out. Look at my belt. I'm the guy when it comes to getting coaches fired. I was like, oh. Now, again, I know in a lot of cases it's nerve pain when the head coach gets fired. It's not a lot of the times for the assistants. Make a good living, make good money, especially if you get to be, Bud Foster and live in a place like Blacksburg for 30 years or so and make good bank. That's different. You're a coordinator there. Position coaches, you getting fired after a year or two, that sucks. Go look at Will Muschamp, and he's been a head coach twice and got broke off. Imagine if, like on Will Muschamp's resume, everywhere he stopped, it said wide receivers coach, tight ends coach, assistant recruiting coordinator. Like if he had never ascended, if he was just a career, like Trooper Taylor, say what you will, guy got signatures. Trooper Taylor, go look at Trooper Taylor's as a position coach. Go look at a guy who's just been a Brian McClendon. He was a coordinator for about 10 minutes in Columbia, I think. But imagine being like Brian McClendon's wife or Brian McClendon's kid or whatever, and you're even at a national championship program. What if you're the Brian McClendon equivalent, and instead of going to, where's he been? LSU, Georgia, South Carolina. Instead of being places like that, say you're Brian McClendon. I'm a wide receivers coach, and that's all I do. You know, quote, all I do. It's important, absolutely. But, you know, you're not a head coach, and you never really got into a groove as a coordinator and got that back. If you are, quote, just a position coach, but it's not at Georgia, LSU, and South Carolina. It's at Middle Tennessee State, Tulsa, and Western Illinois. Leathernecks, I believe. So that's kind of the life there. So I don't speak casually about people getting fired, losing their jobs, anything else. I just know what's what, folks. And when I say potentially a situation brewing at a Power 5 program, I'm talking about two people, one of them that I kind of know pretty well, I think, and then a guy that I believe I was the absolute – I was the first person to interview this guy as he's stepping off the private plane when leaving his previous stop. Somebody hands him a cell phone, says, does Chuck Oliver talk to him? And Georgia Tech head coach Jeff Collins came on with me. This would have been in December back in – oh, gosh, was that 2021? Yeah. So – and he had like 4 days and then recruiting, and so he was busy. But I talked to him literally at the airport. He's just going to the press conference, and so we got him. He's a really good guy and upbeat and positive, and I endorsed the hire. I'm not the athletic director. Todd Stansberry is. Now, when I say I'm friendly with Todd, I know that. I could call him. I could text him. I could see him. I could whatever. In fact, during football season, I talk to him every single week, every week. And so I'm not banging the drum for anybody to get fired, and I'm not saying this casually. I'm saying especially in NCAA athletics, but especially in the Deep South, this next statement is true. Athletic directors at programs where winning at some consistent level is a real goal and a fair enough expectation from fans and ticket buyers and donors. Those ADs lose their jobs because they made the wrong hire or got the wrong result in football and men's hoops. That's it. If you are the athletic director at Mississippi State, probably Southern Miss. Jackson State, maybe. Raising funds as you go down, and the ability to raise money is more valued as you, you know, go down in level of play. 1A, 1AA, et cetera, Division II, the old classifications. So the ability to raise money is a whole card. And my understanding is Todd Stansberry, athletic director at Georgia Tech, he is really, really good at that. And on a personal level, personal behavior, conduct, integrity, and all that, boy, Georgia Tech has no issue. Damon Evans, who I always found just really, really professional and awesome. Damon Evans back, was it summer of 2010? He's leaving some function and gets pulled over, DUI task force. Woman in the seat next to him, her red panties in his lap. It's a tough look to explain. Todd Stansberry will never embarrass you that way. I can guarantee you that. All right, what about winning? Because, see, that was Damon Evans. Damon screwed it up, man. He was in a fantastic professional position. Lady, not your wife, her panties in your lap. So if those two hires are so bad that you fire the athletic director, it normally is the case that those hires have been moved along as well at Georgia Tech. Conversation that I am hearing is, now again, it's easy to have a conversation. Doesn't cost any money, doesn't require a vote, anything else. I say it's an unusual situation that's it's hard to explain elegantly. If you look at the head coach in football and then also men's hoops, Jeff Collins, as I said, 2019, 3 wins, 23 wins, 21, 3 wins. He's 9-25. It's just been bad. And the transition, and we knew it was going to take a long time, and he got an extra long contract. I think it was a 7-year deal. The reason I'm talking about this, we're having Roddy Jones come on from the ACC Network in, I don't know, 5-6 minutes. And I'm going to ask him, I'm going to bounce around the conference and see who really is trying to get ahead and who's just trying to keep up. And when you look at the Georgia Tech program, now they correctly, the words were true when he was hired December 7, 2018. This is an unusual changeover offensively, and it was, boy, they bled that Paul Johnson offense. And the offensive line completely turned around. All of that stuff's true, 100%. And you turned over the offensive line pretty dang quickly with, I think, 4 Power 5 offensive linemen and then a 5th one from Group of Five, or maybe FCS. Maybe Group of Five, though. So you brought in all – you transferred in linemen who you wanted. Now we got big, burly NFL-looking dudes, and you're 3 wins. Now we got Jahmyr Gibbs, who Ohio State and Florida – 3 wins. 3 wins. 3 wins. 3 wins. So that's football. What about men's hoops? Josh Pastner, first season with 21-16, NIT runner-up for whatever you care. Next few seasons, 13-19, 14-18, went 17-14, missed the postseason because of an NCAA ban. The next year, 2021, last March, they won the ACC tournament. Got bounced in the first round of the NCAA March Madness. But they won the ACC tournament. They won their opening game, and they won it. Give them credit. They got a COVID bye to the finals and beat Florida State there, and they looked around and was like, wait a minute, this supposed to be this like 4 or 5 game gauntlet maybe? We showed up one, I think had 2 days off, like Duke and somebody else got COVID eliminated, maybe. 2 other teams. Georgia Tech sitting around going, don't leave your hotel room. If we can fog a mirror, we got a shot to win this thing. And they did. Automatic berth to the tournament. Out. Past season, 12-20. 14th in the ACC. I think in basketball there are actually 15 teams, right? Because Notre Dame, So that's football, and that's men's hoops. Because my understanding, my understanding is there is at least as much conversation about the dissatisfaction with Todd Stansberry as there is the coaches. Now, again, I'm saying individually him, but it's a weird situation. Because the reason, this isn't Washington State. This isn't Minnesota. I don't know. I assume it holds there because that's where the money is. That's where the money is. Maybe at UConn, maybe at Mississippi State baseball, UConn women's hoops. There are some other, out like Stanford, I don't know, maybe they charge for swimming. There are some places that teams are really great at sports. I saw Fargo, college hockey tickets, there's a market. So I don't know. But in the Deep South, I do know football, men's hoops. If it's so bad that you're firing the AD, the head coaches normally are part of that as well, and Georgia Tech doesn't have the money to do that. And my understanding with Jeff Collins is there's no, like, even through four seasons, like, he's going to keep his job after this year. Just show a pulse, man. So, again, I don't say any of that casually. I'm just saying that now multiple times over the past couple of weeks just, there's been conversations about where the dissatisfaction actually lies, and I'm hearing more of it with the AD. It's just a really unusual situation. The hires are so bad. Like, get rid of that guy. Well, what about the hires that you're so unhappy with? All right, folks. Monday on the Chuck Oliver Show, we're going to take a quick break, come back, talk to one of my best amigos, Roddy Jones from the ACC Network.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on Chuck Oliver Show. And we're going to bounce around the entirety of the ACC, or at least some programs there. But I was talking about Georgia Tech and, like, the specific example of the Jackets athletic department right now, but it holds to some other places as well. You're not supposed to be put like the Oakland Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders. My understanding is, like, in NFL terms, before they moved to Vegas, they were a poor NFL team. Like, as far as, like, signing bonuses, being able to say, yeah, we'll give you $45 million up front. They're like, yeah, we ain't got it. I don't know how it's possible. You're not supposed to be broke in college sports right now. You're not supposed to be. You're not supposed to be penny pinching. Brian Gregory was the head coach at Tech basketball previously, about 5 years ago. He got two extra seasons. They were so bound by finances and also so ready to move on from him, they fired him after his fifth season, which was by far his best overall season and best ACC record. It was that the contract had finally reached a stage where it kind of sort of, yeah, we can probably do this. You can't issue bonds to fire a coach. You can issue bonds to build a new arena or improve the baseball facility or a tennis court. Can't issue bonds because we want to move on in men's basketball. It's a tough situation for an athletic director, be at a place, modern-day athletics, where, I don't know, Bear Bryant was at Alabama, there was no money. It's different now. From the ACC Network, does a great job in studio, in the booth, it is Roddy Jones. Roddy, amigo, how are you today?
I am fantastic, Chuck. How are you, man?
I'm all right. Let's talk money. Georgia Tech. I was talking about Jeff Collins and Josh Pastner, but it's just an overall athletic department's situation that in the South, in the Deep South, Power 5, et cetera, I think ADs, they keep themselves employed or they get themselves fired based on football and men's hoops. Let's talk football at Georgia Tech right now and the ability somehow for Jeff Collins, because of the contract, to stay employed where there is a lot of dissatisfaction right now with the guy who made the hire.
Yeah, well, so from a monetary standpoint, your point about Georgia Tech is very valid. Georgia Tech isn't one of those athletic departments that's flush with cash at all times. But I had a couple of conversations with some pretty powerful boosters last year after the season, and they did not see money as an object if indeed Georgia Tech did want to move on from Jeff Collins. You know, some of the background of the fundraising at Georgia Tech is probably necessary here. They just raised over $100 million. I think it was up near $180 million to redo the Edge building. So that capital campaign sort of put the infrastructure together to raise money if they have to.
Yeah, I apologize. Your alma mater, so we can brag a little bit. I think, wasn't the target like 125? And they went
It blew past it. And the only reason that it took so long to get it announced that it was going to be, that the building was going to be done, was the Board of Regents had to approve it. So I think from a money standpoint, Georgia Tech's probably in a little better financial situation in terms of moving on from coaches than it would appear on a balance sheet. The balance sheet certainly doesn't look great on a week in, week out, on a year in, year out basis compared to its peers. But in terms of on the field, there was a commitment early on to Jeff Collins of 7 years.
Yeah.
And if you move on from a coach after three in a contract in a year where you sign him for 7 years, or in a contract where you sign him for 7 years, sort of an admission of failure that I don't think the administration was prepared to make. And to be honest with you, I'm not really sure that the administration sees complete failure. But this year's going to be a telling one. Like, you know, I said, as soon as Jeff Collins was hired, year four is when you should start to see some real returns, just because you have to turn over the roster and it takes multiple recruiting classes to do that. Not only do you have to get recruiting classes, then you have to develop them. You have to have time for all that to happen. So a lot of Paul Johnson recruits, a lot of Paul Johnson players playing last year. So the excuses are running out, but this is the year where you should start to see some real dividends paid on the field.
If we look at Virginia Tech, I mean, you played against them in the heyday, man, when every single August it was like, all right, let's at least talk about Virginia Tech on a national basis. Let's at least – and it was a legitimate conversation to have. That may as well have been during the Civil War. It has been in college football 5-6 seasons. It's another century ago. What is Virginia Tech right now? I think they're just another program. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, Virginia Tech has sort of always been a weird one. It's sort of been a program that was always felt like it was punching above its weight because of Frank Beamer. And the consistency there was done with great defense and sort of a philosophy that defense and special teams is going to carry an offense that was based on running the football. I mean, think of those, even the Michael Vick era, they still had great running backs all the way through the 2000s, early 2000s. Into the teens. And so I think when you look at Virginia Tech, the Justin Fuente experiment didn't work, although it did lead you to an ACC championship in a 10-win season in 2016. But they're a program that needs to reassert itself on the national stage, in my opinion. You know, if you're not one of the blue bloods of college football, which Virginia Tech is not, you're always sort of in danger of slipping into obscurity if you're not punching above your weight. And Virginia Tech is kind of there right now. So I don't really know what to expect from them this year. I know Grant Wells is a pretty good quarterback at Marshall. He threw a lot of interceptions, but he's got some talent. But I don't know what to expect from them just because there's so many unknowns.
Mac Brown, who I've always told people, I was like, oh, he is genuine. It's real. He's the sweetest guy ever. I was like, he's also a cold killer on Saturdays. I was like, he's competitive. Don't get it wrong. He's also pretty clear. I mean, I don't know if you've seen him or talked to him recently. He's done talking about last year's failures. He is done with 2021. Doesn't want to rehash it anymore. He's done. Where do you think that program is right now? Because, again, suddenly they look way different to me than they did last year. There's still a lot of good pieces in place, but I just don't know where they fit in the overall ACC hierarchy now.
Yeah, I think North Carolina was sort of a victim of their own success. You know, there's something to be said for having the instant success. But I think there is, you know, the more sustainable way to build a program, and look, you're never going to trade 9 wins for anything, but the more sustainable way to do it is to sort of go through the, hey, we're a 6-win team, hey, we're a 7-win team, hey, we're an 8-win team, you know, that year after year after year, so you build the foundation. North Carolina came in, and you get this Sam Howell who's a wunderkind for them, and it sort of feels like they're going to turn around, and then because they have Javonte Williams and Michael Carter and Deami Brown and Daz Newsome sitting there, they have this great season that puts them ahead of schedule. You know, it hit a lot of the flaws that they had, particularly defensively. And so I think there was a sense of entitlement. You know, they were recruiting well. Everybody's patting them on the back. And, you know, I don't want to say just the recruits, but this collection of players thought that they had arrived when in actuality there were a lot of issues in the foundation. I still like the way North Carolina's going. I like Gene Chizik as a hire, as a defensive coordinator. And I think offensively, they'll actually be better this year. One, because the offensive line can't be worse. But two, because they're not all going to be looking at Superman to make a play. You know, somebody's going to go out. Yeah. They had two receivers that were starting for them at the beginning of last year, transfer midseason. That, to me, doesn't scream great culture. That, to me, doesn't scream at least solidified culture. Let me not say great culture. I think there was a sense of entitlement from the guys that stepped up, like, hey, I'm going to be Deami Brown. Hey, I'm going to be Daz Newsome. Hey, I'm going to be Ty Chandler aside. Like, I think Ty Chandler came in and worked. But I think they thought success was going to come easily because it did the year before. And it just didn't happen. And I think Mac Brown knows how to rectify that. I actually think the humble pie, the slice humble yeah. pie they got last year, kind of refocuses them. So if you're going to buy stock in a program, I would buy stock in North Carolina. They're too talented to be a 6-win team this year and in the near future. So I think they're probably third in the Coastal this year, just because the rest of the Coastal I have no idea about other than Miami and Pitt.
Yeah, who appears, all right, who's got a settled, somewhat experienced quarterback? All right, these two teams. So in the Coastal, that's enough to lead the conversation. Roddy, I appreciate you as always, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you, Chuck.
All right, Roddy Jones from the ACC Network. Get him on Twitter at RoddyJones20. And so in the Coastal, it's Miami with Van Dyke. Now remember, he just took over for De'Aaron King after King's season ended. And he wasn't supposed to be the starter last year. And now you look at Tyler Van Dyke and go, yeah, okay, maybe he leads the way. And the same thing at Pitt in their transfer, Keaton Slovis. This is a guy who's played some, enough, more than a lot of other transfers who are on the move because they didn't get to play. So it was like, no, I don't think I'm going to play going forward. I don't have as much of a chance going forward to do this. And so he hits the transfer portal. And so, yeah, Pitt, Miami, that's fine. I'll sign up for that. After that, maybe it's North Carolina based on organization, the improvement you get on defense, you believe the bump with Gene Chizik. And then lower on down in the division, you still have Jeff Collins looking around going, I have to win or do I? Now, he wants to, and obviously, I mean, every effort in the world being made, you just got to look at the results so far and the fact that the best player you've had, I think, the best player you've had since Calvin Johnson, he was there for 2 years, and even he looked around and said, no, no more for me.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
K Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Nine states, 56 sticks, including Tallahassee, Alabama. Tallahassee. Added them most recently just down the street from our next guest. Want to welcome him on right now, a guy who, he's in charge, man. College channel manager at Locked On Network, host of Locked On Auburn. It is Zach Blackerby. Zach, brother, how are you today?
Yes, I'm doing well. Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I appreciate you making some time today. We see high school commitments and recruits and top fives, and that's all well and good, but the kids can't even sign if they commit. Transfers can do that, and Auburn got one over the weekend. Craig McDonald, what is up with that? Actually, a couple of weeks back, I know, but Craig McDonald, what's the ball player they got?
Yeah, I mean, came out of high school, a Minneapolis native, went to Iowa State, obviously, but a pretty physical safety, kind of rangy. He redshirted as a freshman in 2020. And then last year, 2021, was really his only year of, you know, playing college football as far as getting on the field. But over 40 tackles, two interceptions. And at this point of the offseason, guys, where a lot of the high-quality guys in the transfer portal have kind of been taken, the fact that Auburn got a guy with this much experience and this much upside and eligibility left, I think it's a huge win.
Yeah, the reason I say I wanted to correct him, I said a couple of weeks back he entered the portal. By May 1st, you're eligible to play this season. And McDonald was in the portal and is now committed to Auburn. What about Daz Worsham, a wide receiver from Miami, who also is eligible for this season?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. McDonald waited until the last day. He entered the portal on April 30th. So he really wanted to see what was going on at Iowa State and jumped in at the last possible second. Dazaylen Worsham, when he entered the portal in Miami, a lot of people were surprised because he was finally kind of getting his opportunity at Miami. Spent the first two seasons as a role player, a depth piece. Didn't really see the field. And in fact, he only saw it in one game and he didn't record a stat. And I think Worsham kind of represents what most of the guys in the portal are at this point. Guys that may have been highly sought after recruits, but haven't really figured it out at wherever they landed. And they've got a bunch of eligibility left. And so, you know, it's fascinating. Worsham, this is his third year of college football, but he's still got 4 years of eligibility. And so if it was like college football 3 or 4 years ago, it'd be like you're getting a talented kid out of high school that's already got two off seasons of, you know, strength and development from an ACC school. So you would absolutely take that. But I don't think he's an impact guy in 2022, but I think he was an addition to possibly compete for some playing time in 2023, maybe even 2024.
Javarius Johnson was in the portal and then decided to stay, I guess maybe right at the outset of spring practice. I remember seeing that he was on the field. I was like, okay. And this is a comment, and I want you to – I'm not being critical. This is a comment that I think is just fair evaluation. I mean, he's still turning into whatever he's going to be. He's still growing into whatever that role is. But not the biggest kid in the world, insanely fast. I found it a little too important that he decided to stay at Auburn. You know, he shouldn't be that critical to a team's, you know, four or five receiver set. And I think he was critical for Auburn to get back.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You know, Brian Harsin, in one of his first press conferences in spring, and this is kind of, you know, me wondering if he was still trying to recruit Javarius Johnson to stay. But he talked about how, you know, he should have been more productive last season, and that was our fault. Talk about the coaching staff. And so these coaches finding different ways to constantly recruit guys, even when they're currently on the roster, which is just wild to think about. But, yeah, you're right. And, you know, I think in the modern era of college football, I don't know how much size you really need. You just need to find ways to create separation, whether it's the scheme of your offense or whether it's, you know, your route running or your speed.
Absolutely.
I think Johnson's got a little bit of all of that. And so we saw him. I think he led Auburn in yards per reception last year, which is which is something that you obviously want to see. This offense needs more explosive plays throughout the season in 2022 than it had last year. They're going to be really, really in trouble. In fact, Brian Harsin may be looking for another job if they don't figure that out. Javaris Johnson's a big part of that.
Talk about the tight end position. And again, I say this, I mean, you know, you look at a guy like John Samuel Schenker, for instance, and you go, wow, he was pretty consistent. He may have been their most consistent week-to-week performer and is a really good weapon. And I'm like, it's 2021. Your tight end shouldn't be that important unless he's Kyle Pitts. And that's another thing. Great to have him. Tell me what's possible there.
I think the tight end position is really, really strong for this Auburn team. So you got John Samuel Schenker, who last year had the best season for a tight end in the history of Auburn football.
I believe it. Yeah.
That bar is low, right? I mean, they haven't had a ton of impressive statistical seasons. They've had good tight ends, you know, C.J. Uzama.
Tommy Trott.
That's right. But, you know, they haven't really turned into, you know, high, you know, output guys. So the fact that John Samuel Schenker did that and then chose to come back is huge. And I think he's a big glue guy for this team as far as culture, what Brian Harsin is trying to build, that, you know, blue collar, you know, keep your nose down and just grind and work. I think that's who John Samuel Schenker is. As far as other guys in that, I mean, you've got dudes, you know, like Deal that can do both things. You know, Tyler Fromm can, you know, block. Yep. And, you know, maybe kind of hitch in the flat kind of thing. But, guys, the dude that I'm really high on going into the season is Landon King. We saw him have a huge touchdown in the Iron Bowl last year. He had a really impressive touchdown grab in the final seconds of the 8A game a few months ago. So athletic, so talented. The guy can kind of do everything. And we saw him throughout the spring line up at wide receiver as well as tight end. So I think the sky's the limit for this guy. He's the guy I'm watching in tight end room this year.
Last thing I want to ask you about, and it's a recruiting-ish sort of thing, but I saw that Auburn pair of 2023 linebackers had, I believe over the weekend, had released their top five. Both of them announced Auburn in the top five, and it's fantastic. If you're offering a kid, you'd rather make the top five than not. One's a linebacker from Georgia. One's a linebacker from Pennsylvania. Tell me again, in-state, what's going on, because this is a fantastic, like historically great year in-state for Alabama high school talent, and Auburn is just sort of in the mix, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of top fives, not a lot of final ones, right? And so that's kind of where Auburn's got to make their biggest change from last season to this season. And look, Brian Harsin can't go anywhere without being asked about, okay, recruiting. Yeah. And I don't think he realized what he was getting into. I'm just going to be honest with you as far as him understanding the battles that take place for recruiting in the SEC. I think he can hang with the SEC coaches in regards to the you know, preparation and scheme and game planning and all that. But this is how you build a program. You know it. I assume everyone listening knows it. And Brian Harsin knows it. I just don't think he realized what it took to kind of, you know, the effort that is needed to really win in these battles. And so the fact that Auburn is in more top fives at this point than a year ago is huge. He's gone on record and admitted the fact of, okay, they're much farther along this year than they were a year ago, which makes sense, right? I mean, he had a weird situation that he was coming into already, throw COVID on top of it where official visits were kind of messed up. Auburn's always been a place that, quote-unquote, sells itself. Like, he was given a tough hand. Like, let's all agree on that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as far as fighting for some of these in-state guys, we need to see him do it. You know, and, you know, this is an in-state guy. He's up in Memphis. But, you know, Brock Glenn's probably going to be the quarterback of this class. If they miss out on him, I think they're in real trouble. And so there's several key battles happening. They've got to find a way to win them.
Zach, appreciate the input, brother. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, again, from Locked On, it is Zach Blackerby. And there are challenges. And as he said, was he handed was he given an easy hand? No. It was negotiable. It was possible to navigate it better than, for instance, a five-game losing streak in the season. Now, were you riding a wave before that? I mean, you were playing better football. And that Mississippi State thing, just you can't have that happen. But was it a tough hand? Yeah. And then what did you do with it? That coordinator thing, man, and especially the Austin Davis, wow, it was something. And so what did you do with it? And the answer is, well, you didn't get it right either. You didn't get perfect. So I guess that's what you're trying to do right now. All right, we'll take a break. Continue on a Monday next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. College football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I think he's done an outstanding job. I think he brought a fresh perspective, you know, a unique skill set given his background in sports and entertainment, you know, with some media background. Obviously, he's been in a number of leadership positions that have provided a great set of experiences.
Rob Mullins, Oregon Athletic Director. He was in charge during the decade of the Duck. That's a thing out there. I'm going to bet right now, if you're not a Duck, if you're not an Oregon grad or fan or something, there's a pretty good chance you've never heard that phrase, but out there it plays, man. Beginning in 2010, over the next decade of the Duck. And they've had a lot of success, played for a national championship twice in football. Their men's basketball team make a Final Four. I'm trying to remember. They got a lot of money. And so there aren't any high school athletes in Oregon. And so you've got to make it so that it's not we want it to be a level playing field. That used to be the call inside the state of Oregon. If you go back to the 80s. Now let me change that. If you go back to as late as the early 90s, even, 90, 91-ish, then it changed and the Ducks were in the Rose Bowl playing Penn State somehow. I'm like, what happened to the Rose Bowl? Neither of these teams are Rose Bowl teams, but then it was Oregon and Penn State. Oregon and Oregon State was just a wasteland when it comes to big-time college sports. Terry Baker won the Heisman at Oregon State in 63-ish, maybe, or 4 or 3 or 4. Oh, gosh, Roger Staubach. So he wins a Heisman, maybe 65. I don't know. And that just, there was no distinguished anything going on either of those campuses. Apparently, Jimi Hendrix was an Oregon fan and a college football fan as well. But otherwise, there's nothing distinguished there. And then the 90s happened, and Mike Bellotti, and then Chip Kelly, and then sort of Helfrich, and Mariota wins a Heisman, but then they're back to being money. Money, 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 money. I mentioned it earlier. Bear Bryant, when he was in Tuscaloosa, nobody had money. Bear had money, but it was – this is not like shady stuff I'm saying. It's just how it was done in 1968. At the end of the season, you played in the Sugar Bowl or the Orange Bowl or the Gator Bowl or some bowl, Cotton Bowl, and you got an envelope. You got what you got for being athletic director and head football coach and coaching men's basketball and maybe assistant coach in baseball. And that's what, like, Vince Dooley would do. A real coach would do other stuff to make money. And he also get an envelope with, I don't know, $5,000 in it or something. 1968, that played. Not really how it is anymore. When you went from nobody, and when I say, so like Bear Bryant, quote, officially, Alabama athletics, they didn't have any money. They didn't need any money. Money for what? For stadium renovations? Uh-uh. There's a bench. For $4, you can sit there for a few hours. Nobody spent on the stadium. Stadium wasn't supposed to be anything. And why would you spend on the stadium when all of your big games were at the city-owned stadium in Birmingham? I'm just using an example. I didn't, you know, purposely cherry-pick this one, but boy, it sure works. So I say you didn't need any money. Sold out all the games. Always have. Been fantastic. Mike Dubose was there. You would at least show up to boo. So there was money coming in of a relative sense. There skyboxes. No. We were just talking with Roddy Jones. You know how different it is now in athletics? We were just talking with Roddy Jones. Georgia Tech, and now he said, and you know, they just are in the processes. They're putting a cap on like a $180 million fundraiser. And I had seen that when it had been announced, and they'd given some updates along the way. But I remember when it was announced, $125 million was the goal, and went flying past it. Boy, did they. They set a goal, fundraising, modern day, tough times, not a huge alumni base, and they went 50% over what the goal was? Wow, Georgia Tech. It's about a third of what Ole Miss is spending. It's not going to work. It's a third. Somewhere between a half and a third when everything is totaled together. Your goal at Georgia Tech, your goal, what you stated, now you exceeded it by a third. So money changed it all. Oregon, $125 million. Phil, sup, dog? And Phil writes a check. So that's what that is, and that's Rob Mullins, and he is talking about George Kliavkoff. I didn't even comment on that. Pac-12 commissioner. One of the pillars behind the alliance, and I've told you, Vegas showman. He is more about, you know, he has a very extensive resume negotiating Vegas contracts for like big concerts and showrooms and Garth Brooks or whoever. And so the Pac-12 wanted to add a different, boy, they went a different, well, I'll give him credit, check the box for that. They went different. I think that you sort of need to be either outright incompetent or just have no clue what you're doing. And those are different things. Like Larry Scott, he knew what he was supposed to be doing. Incompetence comes to mind. Kliavkoff isn't aware of the job fully. But he's steaming ahead and trying to make contracts. And he's had some success. And you pay more attention. Boy, that is about the most lukewarm endorsement of George Kliavkoff. But Rob Mullins says, nope, it's the end of the rainbow. Dan, how are you on this Monday?
So far, so good. You know, one of the things that happened over the weekend was Missouri might have found their quarterback. Now, I think that what I'm about to say for some Missouri fans out there might be immediately backed up with, that's really who's going to be our possible starting quarterback. Okay, awesome. But Jack Abraham from Southern Miss. And Chuck, to be honest with you, I don't know much about Jack Abraham other than the fact he almost threw for 3,500 yards last year and 19 touchdowns. And in your word, that's not nothing. That was actually a couple of years ago that he did that. But still, somebody that has been able to put together pretty decent production on this level of football. And I think that if nothing else, it's immediately then backed up with looking at Eli Drinkwitz and saying, I thought this was supposed to be your thing. I thought you were supposed to be able to not only have good quarterback talent in the program, but be able to develop it. Because I will say this, in terms of the perception of that part of it, Chuck, he's 0 for 1 because Connor Bazelak has come and gone from the program, and now it's up to them to be able to go to the transfer portal and try to prove, not only can we be able to have good quarterback play here, we can develop it. Because it is something that we have seen in the SEC. Number one, you don't even get to the water. You're dead on land if you don't have good protection up front, primarily on the offensive line, on the offensive side of the ball. Secondary, you're dead in the water if you don't have capable quarterback play. And in this case right here, last year, and really even for the second part of the 2020 season, they did not necessarily have capable quarterback play. Now it is something that they are trying to be able to reboot in this case, and being able to add a veteran player like Jack Abraham is the hope in being able to do that. But I think if nothing else, Chuck, if this fails, I think that Missouri fans are going to start looking at Eli Drinkwitz and saying, maybe you're not as great an offensive mastermind as people thought you once were.
Yeah, and here's the disclaimer. It's the adult world. It's big boy football. There's more big boy football than the Southeastern Conference. And if you, if you don't win, you won't be there to make any decisions. if you're Eli Drinkwitz, you now look at sophomore Brady Cook and sophomore Tyler Macon. Actually, I think maybe redshirt freshman. And two kids that you have brought in. And they were part of the reason that you looked at Connor Bayes like, it's like, yeah, no, two-year starter. I think we got a better shot with one of these two kids. It's why you looked at Brady Cook and Tyler Macon, said moving forward with you. And then now, after you can't transfer and play this year without some sort of exceptional waiver, allegedly, it's the middle of May. And again, survival of the fittest, brother. Jack Abraham, he went to Mississippi. I don't know why he went to Mississippi State. He played at Southern Miss and put up numbers, as Dan was saying. If we had Jake Wimberly or somebody, or Matt Wyatt, maybe there really is a reason he went, like a personal connection, his OC. And if there is, I should know that. Like his high school head coach was the quarterback coach or something. Whatever. If there was a deep personal connection, and he thought, well, Will Rogers was only part-time star, I can come take that. And then he didn't. In fact, I don't even think he took the field. He got injured, and I don't believe played a snap. This guy started multiple seasons at Southern Miss. Didn't play. So he looks around, and he got the dose of reality, the grow-up pill last year. Yeah, you transferred, and it's supposed to be your last season, sort of, maybe, but it winds up that you're not going to play at all. All right, well, I got one more shot at this. I'm going to Missouri. Folks, if you ask me right now, if I had to say, and I don't, Eli Drinkwitz doesn't have to say, and Brady Cook and Tyler Macon, nobody has to say. If I had to say right now, he's starting. Tell me the head coach is going to look at a guy who started Division I football for 3 years. Tell me a veteran coach that's going to look at a starter for 2.5-3 seasons in college football and go, you know what? Going with a redshirt freshman who's basically never played. Coaches can't force themselves to do that. So that's what you're looking at with Eli Drinkwitz, and again, getting Jack Abraham. He's a talented quarterback, and now you've got two talented quarterbacks who post May 1st just found out, hey, yeah, that starting job you thought that at least you had a 50-50 shot at, yeah, you got like a 4% chance of winning that quarterback job now.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.